This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from SEIU Local 503 OPEU, whose mission is to improve the quality of life through worker empowerment and a progressive labor movement, and whose members deliver quality public services to Oregonians every day.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
This is Jamie Partridge with Labor Radio. I'm sitting here at the Union Hall of National Association of Letter Carriers, Branch 82, talking with the president, Jim Cook. Good evening, Jim.
Good evening, Jamie.
And we're talking about the crisis facing the Postal Service and what the response is and has been, needs to be. So, Jim, why don't you kick it off by telling us what the latest in the crisis facing the Postal Service, what's going on?
Well, the United States Postal Service has been under attack for many years, but the current crisis is the lack in confidence of our current Postmaster General, Patrick Donahoe. Patrick Donahoe recently proposed to eliminate Saturday delivery effective in August of this year. He, in our opinion, fails to have that authority and also fails to have vision for the future of the Postal Service, because Saturday delivery is very important to large segments of our society, especially seniors who receive prescription drugs by the mail, especially rural communities that rely almost exclusively on the Postal Service because the FedEx, UPS, and other private carriers aren't there very frequently, if at all. And so we look at Saturday delivery as a competitive edge for the Postal Service's future, and we don't understand why the Postmaster General would want to eliminate what is a competitive edge of the United States Postal Service.
Well, and it would have a tremendous impact on jobs, right?
And that's the other thing, is we keep hearing from both parties, since there are two dominant political parties, that we need to create jobs. We being who? But the Postal Service already has a lot of jobs throughout every community in the country, and those jobs are being threatened. 80,000 jobs is one estimate we've heard. There's 2,000-3,000 jobs just in the state of Oregon immediately affected.
So the Postal Service is quite a large employer, right? And one of the largest unionized employers.
Postal Service has traditionally been one of the largest employers in the nation, but the Postmaster General prides himself in eliminating hundreds of thousands of jobs. Now, is the work still there? Yes, the work's there, but we need to hire more people, not lay off people, because he wants to cut service even more. Now, how has he accomplished the hundreds of thousands of jobs not being there anymore? By putting the work on the current people who are the, if you go into a Postal Service to buy stamps, how many window clerks are there and how many vacant places are there for the window clerks? The window clerks are working very hard to serve the public, but they're understaffed. Same thing with letter carriers. We're understaffed. We have people being forced to work their scheduled days off. They're being forced to work into the dark. And they're being mandated beyond what is really safe and healthy for people.
So you mentioned that what the Postmaster General is trying to do, end Saturday mail delivery by August, is illegal?
Congress has the authority over the Postal Service as per the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8. We do not believe he has the authority to eliminate Saturday delivery. There is an appropriations bill that generally covers and authorizes the delivery of six-day mail delivery, but the Constitution covers the Postal Service, but with Congress being responsible. But in 1971, the United States Postal Service was created with a board of governors who's basically appointed by the president. And they are supposed to be equal Democrat Republicans, but we have a lot of vacancies right now because we do not believe that President Obama understands how essential the U.S. Postal Service is to the society and to commerce.
You say that the Postal Service is attached to an appropriations bill. Why is that?
There's a misperception in that the Postal Service is supported by tax dollars, but since 1982, there has not been a tax dollar used for the operation of the Postal Service. We've been self-sufficient with the sale of stamps and postage, etc. However, the president did in his deficit reduction group consider the Postal Service as a target, and he considered five-day delivery to be one of the options to save money, but it's not. The Postal Service is off budget. However, in 2006, Congress passed so-called reform legislation that required the Postal Service to pay for 75 years of future retiree health benefits in only a 10-year period. Now, that occurred 2007 when the recession hit, and the Postal Service has been spiraling downward financially, but mostly because of the requirement by the Congress that the Postal Service fund future retiree health benefits at a price tag of $5.5 billion per year. So that unrealistic burden is what really has created the financial crisis, along with the current recession. And we believe that that's what Congress has to fix, number one.
So Congress created this crisis back in 2006 by imposing this mandate that 10% of the postal budget, $5.5 billion a year, be paid out into the U.S. Treasury. And so most of these losses that we hear about in the newspaper are due to this pre-funding mandate. But Congress hasn't done anything about it in 6 years.
Congress, in fact, has been way too quiet on this issue. There are proponents of reform that is actual reform, and those happen to be Peter DeFazio and Senator Bernie Sanders. Also, Senator Merkley and Senator Wyden have been strong advocates to save six-day delivery, to release the Postal Service from the burden of having the $5.5 billion per year to have to pay for future retiree health benefits. So we do have a congressional delegation, aside from Greg Walden, who support the future of the Postal Service.
Now, are there some bills before Congress right now that the letter carriers and others are seeking to get passed? You mentioned DeFazio. You mentioned Senator Sanders.
Yes, we're very grateful for these bills because, unlike some of the bills that have been before Congress, these have what we believe positive outcomes both for postal customers, which is every citizen and business in the country, but also for keeping the Postal Service alive well into the future. And what we're looking at is supporting, if you could contact your senators to ask them to support Senate Bill 316, that's S-316, and House Bill H.R. 630, that's H.R. 630. Those are the bills that are called the Postal Service Protection Act of 2013, and they will continue six-day mail delivery. They will reverse the cuts and the closures, and they will repeal the pre-funding mandate and the pension surpluses that are another issue that has cost the Postal Service a lot of money.
So you mentioned a couple other topics we haven't talked about. One is cuts and closures. Now, we talked about eliminating Saturday delivery. What cuts and closures are you talking about?
We're talking about the proposed closures of rural postal services. They've already reduced hours, which rural post offices are extremely important to the community and the social life out in the rural areas. Oregon has a number of rural post offices that were slated for closing, but fortunately we have had a citizens network that has been built thanks to a lot of efforts of individuals like you, Brother Partridge, because the community...
And there's an organization out there that's fighting for rural post offices.
The Rural Organizing Project and the Community and Postal Workers United is an awesome organization that's helping the communities resist the closures of rural post offices. Now, the other closures are the plant closures. Now, the Postal Service calls the mail processing places plants. And they worked throughout the night to get the mail ready, sorted, transported to the various post offices throughout the state. There are these mail processing plants currently in Portland, Salem, Springfield, Medford, Bend, and Pendleton. However, the Postal Service plans to eliminate those mail processing plants and only have mail processing plants in Portland and Medford. And so if you can visualize the state of Oregon and how they transport is by tractor trailer, private contractors mainly, and that transportation network will take a while. That means Portland will process Portland's mail last, which means letter carriers will be delivering later and later and later to customers who at one time were getting their mail before noon.
It sounds like the mail across the state will be delayed. If you mail a letter from Eugene to Springfield, it has to be transported all the way to Portland to be sorted?
And then back to be delivered. That is correct, brother. It is insane. It is definitely not something that the customers will benefit by because all of the mail will be delayed. In fact, the Postmaster General has already implemented unilaterally a standard change, which means that at one time, since Salem had a processing plant, Portland has processing plants, Portland and Salem, you would get your mail overnight if it's first-class mail in the vicinity. Now the Postmaster General has permission to allow first class to be delayed for 2-3 days. Now we're talking important mail. Say I forget and I have a bill that I don't want to have to pay any kind of interest on. That could be delayed. And prescription drugs, a lot of things are time sensitive. And people take the Postal Service for granted. And you don't know what you've got till it's gone. And we're on the edge, literally, of destruction because the Postmaster General is killing service every which way he can.
Now, what is the scheduled closure for these? When is this supposed to happen? With, you say, the Salem plant, the Springfield plant, the Pendleton and Bend plants? When are they scheduled for closure?
Originally, they had stated 2014, but the Postmaster General has accelerated the closures. Well, the Board of Governors, who's supposed to be in charge of the Postal Service, has directed the Postmaster General to accelerate the schedule of closure. So Salem closure could be June of this year, which is right around the corner.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Jamie Partridge, your host for Labor Radio. We're talking with Jim Cook, president of the National Association of Letter Carriers in the Portland area, about the crisis facing the Postal Service and building the fight back.
So you've got Congress, you've got the president, you've got the Postal Board of Governors. What is the role of the Postal Board of Governors?
To oversee the functions and the mission of the Postal Service, make sure that the customers are receiving their mail. But the Board of Governors has been, let's say, a misnomer, because in the early part of this 21st century, we had Jim Miller, who was part of the Board of Governors, and James Miller was the same person who was in charge of Ronald Reagan's privatization of government services in 1981 all through Reagan's period. So that is what we're looking at, is that the Board of Governors have been, in our view as workers, often contrary to the true mission of the Postal Service. There's been extreme capital expenditures in automation with not nearly the return from the capital expenditures. Basically, flat sorter systems was the most recent one that the Board of Governors authorized, but the flat sorters are capital intensive and still have a tremendous amount of problems. But the Postal Service moves ahead with the automation. And that's, in my view, what we need to look at, is what have been the decisions of the Board of Governors over recent years, and who do we hold accountable for the destruction of the Postal Service?
So are you saying that they're orienting toward the private sector and toward putting money in the hands of the private sector instead of the service mission of the Postal Service?
Yes, I would say that that's been the pattern. We have seen that pattern. For example, a transformation plan that was brought forward in 2002 really was a plan for the ultimate privatization. And then there was an accelerated plan that came out March of 2010, which initially talked about going to five-day delivery and the plant closures and the rural post office closures. And then there was another plan that was accelerated to try to accomplish things by 2015. And now you see even a more accelerated plan. So the Board of Governors, in my view, is accelerating the Postal Service to its very destruction.
And privatization is the ultimate outcome. And what's wrong with privatization?
Privatization is something that's been occurring with the Postal Service now. I started my career in 73, but just prior to that, UPS was came forward in the late 60s and took away virtually a large chunk of the parcel business went to UPS. And if you check the pattern of UPS, it grew tremendously in the 70s and 80s. FedEx didn't even exist before the United States Postal Service developed something called overnight mail, which was express mail. It was overnight mail delivery, and then FedEx was born in 1978 or so and has taken the majority of overnight and other business. So FedEx and UPS have the majority of the profit margin of the delivery businesses already. The problem is that they do not have the universal network that the Postal Service has, nor will they be able to accomplish that. The Postal Service has post offices currently that aren't being closed or sold in every community, and we deliver to every business and every resident in the country. UPS and FedEx have a very, very small percentage of actually delivery points versus us, but they have the profit margin. They have already taken the cream of the crop. Now they want Saturday because they get premium service fees on Saturdays. The Postal Service has no extra charge for Saturday delivery. So that's an example. DHL is another one that's a private company that wants the Postal Service business. So they basically want the assets for multiple reasons. They're also chomping at the bit because the pension of postal workers and letter carriers are paid well into the future. So they see that if they can privatize the Postal Service and get that pension money, that's billions and billions of dollars. So all they see are dollar signs, and they don't care about you or me getting regular mail service that we have grown to expect and truly need in this country.
So what is the what are the workers, what are the unions, what are community organizations doing to save the Postal Service, both here and at the national level?
Well, there are four postal unions. I represent City Letter Carriers. National Association of Letter Carriers at the national level has been working on the Capitol Hill to promote positive legislation and defeat negative legislation. As grassroots network, what we've done here in Portland, I became president again in January of 2010, and we started resisting immediately the move to five-day delivery and the closure of post offices and mail processing plants because they're all connected to the end of the Postal Service. And we have had rallies, we have had marches, we have gone out to unions, to neighborhood associations, to senior groups, to business groups, civic organizations, and have carried the message that the post office belongs to the people. It's the people who need to rise up in voice and action to save the Postal Service. And we have seen a tremendous response once people get the truth. The problem is corporate media rarely allows the truth about the Postal Service to be released. It's often
what is the message that the corporate media is putting out there?
The corporate media is putting out there that the Postal Service is broke because of the internet, and because of high salaries of postal workers, that the labor contracts, that we need to get rid of unions because the labor contracts are too big, which is, you know, we receive fair wages. We work hard for our salaries, so we feel we get fair wages. But the Postal Service myths out there are that the Internet's killing the Postal Service. Well, we've been coexisting with the Internet since it began, and in 2006, prior to the mandate that Congress put on us for future retiree health benefits, was the most successful year of the Postal Service, both in revenue. It was the highest revenue, and it was the highest volume that we received. That's in the thick of the Internet age. And so we have coexisted with the Internet. We use Internet, but there is a place for hard copy transfer and always will be legal documents, financial documents, personal documents, a get well card, sympathy cards, birthday cards, packages. There is always going to be a need for physical transfer, and that's where the Postal Service's universal network of delivery to over 150 million locations every day, 6 days a week, is so vital to commerce and communication in this country. So the myth is that the Postal Service is going broke because of the Internet. It's not so. Or the myth is that the Postal Service is inefficient. Not so. It's just these myths have to be addressed. And there are solutions. Peter DeFazio has a solution in the House. Bernie Sanders has a solution in the Senate. What we have to resist are those who are currently chairs of the various committees, and that's Daryl Issa in the House and Carper in the Senate.
So Congress seems to be stuck on stupid, and the Postmaster General is moving forward with these cuts and closures and elimination of Saturday delivery. What are you doing, or you and other organizations, to try to stop that here on the local level or on the national level?
We're continuing our grassroots effort to talk to every group we can about saving America's Postal Service. On March 17th at 2 o'clock, we're having a rally. That's St. Patrick's Day. We're having a rally at Pioneer Courthouse Square at 2 o'clock. That's 6th and Southwest Morrison. And then we're going to have a number of community speakers. We have a large number of people who really come out and want to say, this is our Postal Service. We're going to stand up and save it. And we're marching from the Pioneer Courthouse Square to the main post office to demonstrate publicly that the Postal Service is worth saving. It's been around since Benjamin Franklin created it in 1775. It is still relevant. Who knows what the future holds for the Postal Service, but the immediate future is one of destruction, and that's our plan, is to stop the destruction that's being perpetrated by the Postmaster General. And we want to replace the Postmaster General with a leader with vision.
So March 17th, 2 p.m. Pioneer Courthouse Square. Why March 17th?
In 1970, there was a wildcat strike of postal workers, letter carriers, that started in New York City, March 17th. And so we're recognizing that historic date because that was an expression of its time that created, in my view, it was part of the labor uprising that occurred in the late 60s and early 70s. And it was more of society uprising saying, hey, there's a myth that we don't have power. When we rise up together, we have power.
All right, March 17th, 2 p.m., Pioneer Courthouse Square. Anything else you want to leave our listeners with? Jim Cook, president of the National Association of Letter Carriers here in Portland area.
Just remember that the Postal Service has been around for a long time. It's relevant today. It will be relevant well into the future. It's a private, it's greed. Privatization are the motives, not any other motive. So it's in our hands to save the Postal Service. We ask you to help us as a union and as community. Join us on March 17th if you can. Be sure to write your senators and congresspeople to let them know to support Saving America's Postal Service.
And if people want to get involved in this struggle down the road, do you have contact information?
My name is Jim Cook, and our work phone number at the NALC Branch 82 office is 503 493 493-593-5903. That's 493-5903.
And you want people to invite you to come speak to their group, is that right?
Yes, if I'm not available, we have a number of letter carriers who can come and speak. There's also community organizers and leaders who have been willing to go out and speak as well.
All right. Thank you, James Cook, president of National Association of Letter Carriers, Branch 82, Portland area.
Thank you, Jamie, and thank you, KBOO.
I talked with Jim after our interview, and he mentioned that he'd forgotten to talk about the fact that the Internet is impacting the way that the Postal Service functions. In fact, the first-class mail has declined 5% per year over the last 4 years due to use of the Internet, email, fax, electronic funds transfer. But the Internet has also increased the number of parcels that the Postal Service carries up to 14% per year because of online shopping. And there are many other ways that the Postal Service can increase revenue and improve service in the internet age. For example, bringing back postal banking, which is something that small depositors used the Postal Service as a bank up until 1967, and in this day of distrust of the big banks, especially in small towns where there's no banking, the Postal Service could provide that. Postal Service could provide internet access in all these neighborhoods and in rural areas where folks don't have access to the internet. 1/4 of the population of the United States has no access to the internet. 40% have no access to broadband internet. And the Postal Service could be one-stop government service centers, particularly in low-income and rural communities. Folks could pay their utilities. People could get licenses. People could register for benefits. There are many things that the Postal Service could do. Provide seven-day delivery, same-day delivery, and look in on the daily on the disabled and elderly, for example. The Postal Service can provide many this and many other things if just allowed to do so. That about wraps it up for tonight's Labor Radio. Every Monday night at from 6 to 6:30, Labor Radio, the only show of its kind in Oregon or Southwest Washington, of working people, by working people, for working people. I want to thank our engineer, Danielle, and stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
As soon as you're born, they make you feel small by giving you no time instead of it all. Till the pain is so big you feel nothing at all. A working class hero is something to be.
You are listening to KBOO 90.7 Portland. You just got done listening to Labor Radio. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Oregon Southwest Washington Carpenters Local 156, whose goal is to organize workers, provide a safe work environment, ensure livable wages, and elevate the morale and social condition of its members. Information at ubc156.org. Up next is Prison Pipeline.
When the tortured and scared you.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.
perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime, and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
The goal is to keep them out of the adult justice system. We don't want them going to prison. We don't want them to continue their patterns of antisocial behavior. We want them to feel supportive and show them that there's another way, take the road less traveled. You know what I mean? Your whole life is this one vision, and you can take another path, having a mentor helping you lead the way.
If you've seen or read what the justice system can do to a person's life, you're probably interested in making sure more people make healthy decisions and don't get caught in it, especially young people. The Second Chance program from Big Brothers Big Sisters aims to break the cycle of harmful behaviors by supporting youth between the ages of 12 and 17 who are currently involved in the justice system. Youth in this program reside in Multnomah County, Washington County, or Clackamas County upon their release. And working in partnership with the Oregon Youth Authority and County Juvenile Justice Divisions, a Second Chance volunteer meets with the youth currently involved in the justice system. The Big Brother or Big Sister provides friendship and helps the youth ease back into society after incarceration, working to ensure they don't get involved in the adult justice system. I'm your host, Peter Pincel, and you are listening to Prison Pipeline, where we present a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. Tonight, we'll speak with Tammy Wallace, program manager with the Big Brothers Big Sisters Second Chance program. But first, we chat with LaMarcus Causey, who tells us a little bit about his experience as a Big Brother.
A little bit about myself. I'm from Portland, born and raised in Oregon. I lived in Northeast Portland pretty much my whole life and the not-so-great parts of Portland. And come from a huge family, 10 siblings. Got children myself. Work at an elementary